In the name of our risen Lord Jesus, welcome to worship this morning. A special word of welcome to any who might be visitors among us. We're delighted that you have chosen to come into this assembly for your worship and praise this day. I am not Pastor Dan Peterson. I am Pastor Paul Hoffman, a member of this congregation, and I'm subbing for Pastor Peterson today as he recovers. Let us worship the risen Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 65. The prophet Isaiah announces God's impatience. The people's self-absorption is idolatry, and images of practices that displease God fill this reading. Like a vintner who crushes the grape to release the wine, God will use Israel's exile to establish a new community of the faithful. A reading from the book of Isaiah. It was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke to my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together," says the Lord. "Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster of grapes, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is blessing in it,' so I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Galatians chapter 3. For Paul, baptism is a powerful bond that unites people, not only with God, but with other believers. Those who call themselves children of God experience a transformation that removes prejudices of race, social class, or gender in favor of true unity in Christ. A reading from Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes and did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would not break the bonds, and he would be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The way in which we'll make any sense of this very complicated and very challenging story will in large part be determined by where we see ourselves in it. It certainly makes sense that we, like the one living in the tombs, could see ourselves as the victim of a legion of demons stacked up against us, although they could hardly be compared to the tombs to which the man was relegated. We have spent 2+ years relegated to our own homes, and maybe even some of us not wearing much clothes during that time. And in that time, It has really felt overwhelming, hasn't it? Even now, as we are supposedly emerging from this pandemic, life continues to be complicated and challenging. COVID continues to torment and perplex us, as is witnessed by my very presence with you today and the illness of your own pastor. Its tentacles continue to be as far-reaching as the ripples of Shanghai's disastrous lockdown and as close as the anxiety we feel in the grocery store parking lot. Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? But the demons this story reminds us are legion. The original hearers of the story, especially at the time that Luke was writing it, would immediately have their minds go to the place of their own occupation by legions of Roman soldiers. And though we might not be living in a land that is occupied by an unwelcome power, certainly the future of the global community is threatened by a nation that is so occupied and being destroyed as the world watches in horror night after night or morning after morning as we take in the news. And closer to home, there is a legion of forces that threaten. Inflation, violence, climate change, the continuing scourges of cancer, addiction, mental illness. You know the list. You have your own demons that could be added to it. And we cannot escape the mention on this of all days, Juneteenth. Especially because the story lays it right in front of us in the language of chains and shackles. We cannot escape the mention today of the millions of human siblings upon whose backs this country was built because they were held in bondage as slaves. And that legacy of racism and classism continues to haunt and taint us as a wound that refuses to heal. The ramifications of the sins of the past linger into the present, and they are legion. Oof. That's a lot. That is a boatload of demons by which we might feel shackled. The legion of trials and tribulations that hold us in the torment of chains that we can't see, that on many days we're in denial about, but when they catch up with us, feel like more than we care to handle. Maybe this story, as complicated and challenging as it is not so far from our life experience after all. If this is our entry point into the story, if how we see this through our own lives of being overwhelmingly possessed by forces beyond our own control, then there is certainly good news to be had in what the gospel tells us this morning. None of these legions of demons is beyond the power of Jesus to heal and to control. When Jesus steps out of the boat and into our lives. He comes with healing and deliverance that can reclothe us with a new mindset and a joy that comes when all things are made new. Now, make no mistake, the healed man is still living in an occupied land. All his troubles do not magically disappear. Jesus is a healer, not a magician. Do you notice that in this story, even as his healing is still washing over him, Jesus turns down his request for his heart's desire? Jesus does not allow him to bask in the glow of his own shadow, but rather sends him back to be a witness among people who fear him. Interesting, isn't it? They were afraid of him when he was sick, and now they're afraid of him when he's healed. And this brings us to another way that we could see ourselves in this multi-layered, multifaceted story. What if we see ourselves not as the victim of a legion of demons, but rather as the people who have ostracized such a person? Or persons. Can we allow ourselves to imagine the way that fear so seizes us, that the way we deal with those not like us is to relegate them to the margins, to the tombs, out of sight, out of mind? Can we admit that sometimes we use the advantage and privilege of our own fortunate circumstances to insulate ourselves from others whose illness or perspective or maybe even political leanings might challenge our own? Now, this may not be true for you, but it certainly is for me, that while it's easiest to see myself as a victim, I am more often the victimizer. I don't like it when my life is challenged by those who upset my happy little life, my wonderful self-perceived status quo. Apparently, those who lived in the country of the Gerasenes didn't like that either. So they kept this challenging one under guard in chains and shackles, out of sight, and with any luck at all, out of mind. And the story is a convicting reminder to us that they are as afraid of the man after he was healed and living among them as they were when he was possessed and relegated to the outskirts of town. I think when it comes right down to it, we're a little bit of both in this complicated and challenging story, aren't we? We are those possessed by a multitude of challenges and troubles. In answer to the old hymn's question, are there trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We can answer resolute, yes, yes, there are. There are plenty of them right here in my life, in our lives. But the next day, or maybe even the same day, or maybe even just a minute later, we can also answer, if we're willing to be honest, that often we are the perpetrators of a multitude of challenges and troubles in the lives of others. As the confession says, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Either way, the good news of the gospel stands. It is the same Christ who meets us. It is the same Christ who meets victim and perpetrator alike with the promise of a better way, a new way of seeing, a word of hope, a hand of healing. And that very Christ is among us here today, just as surely as he was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he is out of the boat and on the loose and eager to set us free. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sun. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Praise the one true love incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose for many, that we may know God by grace.
united in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Holy God, you hear the cries of those who seek you. Equip your church with evangelists who reveal the continuous call of your outstretched hands and your promises of a home in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You hear the cries of the earth. Restore places where land, air, and waterways have been harmed. Help us all to be part of that restoration process. Guide us to develop and implement sources of energy and food production that do not destroy the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You hear the cries of those who are marginalized or cast out. On this Juneteenth observance, guide us continually toward the end of oppression in all its forms, especially white supremacy. Bring true freedom and human flourishing to all your beloved children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You hear the cries of those who suffer. Come to the aid of all who are homeless, naked, hungry, or sick. Bring peace to any experiencing mental illness that they can clearly recognize your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You hear the cries of those who celebrate and those who grieve on this Father's Day. Nurture mutual love and tender care in all relationships. Comfort those for whom this day brings sadness or longing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For whom or what else do the people of God pray today? Hear our prayer. Dear God, we lift up to you the names of those who we know that are asking for prayers or maybe asking for our help to help them out. Pastor Dan, recovering from COVID. John Reese's sister-in-law, Marcia. Scott Shade, Lisa Kerr's husband. Pat Sobeck's sister, Donna. Ruth Gormley. Richard McNeese. Heidi Steiner's cousin, Melissa Balcom, and her husband, Dennis. Georgina Robinson in chemotherapy. Annie, Susan Evans' friend in hospice. For the Unseth family following Mindy's death. The family of Cameron Steffen. Jessica and parents for healing and support. For John Reese's friend upon the sudden death of his adult son. Ken Hockman as he recovers. Christine, Joan Kavanaugh's cousin. David Erickson, Karen McCullough's brother with multiple melanoma. Almaz's mother, Awatosh, and brother, Mulagita. John Reese's son-in-law, Jim Garrison. Carol Ann's colleague, Peter. Jan Olson, in memory of Linda. Ben Matter. Jean McLaughlin. Hildy Glore, Lee Mathis, Mary Gallagher, Barb Guillotine, Carol S., Denny Elfson. Dear God, help us all to reach out on our own as we can to people in need. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for the faithful departed whose lives proclaimed all you had done for them. At the last, unite us with them as we make our home in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, inspire us to work toward your kingdom and teach us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Amen. Christ is among us. Receive the bread of life. Please be seated. If you intend to commune in your pews, please hear these words. "This is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you." Others may come forward to receive communion at the front of the church. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. is the body of Christ given for you, Rich. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Life-giving God, through this meal, you have bandaged our wounds and fed us with your mercy. Now send us forth to live for others, both friend and stranger, that all may come to know your love. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jim Meegard has an announcement for us. We'll start with him.
Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And happy Father's Day to the dad of us all. Now, my wise grandmother, Daisy, used to say, you know, when there's legions of trouble and problems, get busy, do something, act. And now, in 2 days, it'll officially be summer. I hope it starts feeling like summer. But I wanted to give a quick preview of some of the social action activities this summer. First of all, thank you for all of you who have contributed summer care items for the unhoused youth of New Horizons. There's still time to give. Items can be left, and they're listed in the bulletin. Items can be left in a bag marked in front of the admin office or in the side chapel. I'll pick them up at about 3 o'clock on Tuesday en route to a tour in New Horizons in Belltown at 4 o'clock on Tuesday for anyone who's interested. It's open to all, should be very interesting, very relaxed. We'll meet at their coffee house storefront, Street Bean, right in front of New Horizons. And then we'll have a tour of the site where they're adding 30 new individual room units for unhoused youth. So that should be interesting. Please feel free to join us. Also, just a reminder that we're providing dinners for New Horizons on the fifth Fridays of the months that have five Fridays. And the next one will be July 29th. We'll be preparing and serving about 35 dinners for 35 kids. So, if anyone wants to, at this point, volunteer to provide a dish, please let me know, there'll be more announcements on that. Also, we've started a little fund drive to assist Afghan LGBTQ refugees currently in the United Arab Emirates and Pakistan, seeking to find asylum in Canada and the United States. There's information on that in the bulletin. And finally, in September, rounding out the summer, we have something in the works, thanks to Lisa Kiarshade, who champions a lot of environmental activities here in the parish. The ELCA is encouraging parishes to participate in a day of service to communities called God's Work, Our Hands. And we are planning to work with the City of Hope Lutheran Church in Columbia City, Magnolia Lutheran, and maybe others, to plant trees in a community in South Seattle or the Central District and clear some toxic weeds and things. Not toxic, invasive. But there'll be more information on that. It's going to be in some Saturday in September to be determined, and the location to be determined. That will be with Forterra, an environmental organization. I'll be around afterwards in the narthex. If you have any questions or want to participate in any of these, let me know. Thank you.
I'm just going to say a quick thank you to everybody who came out for the garden work party yesterday. In fact, I see just about everybody here. Connie Verm, Lisa Kiarshade, Candy, Myra, Don, of course, and Dennis, and Catherine Knorr, yes. List goes on. We filled at least by my count, and I may not have seen everything that was hauled away, 8 of those big green cans. Obviously, church only has one, so other people volunteered cans. But thank you for everybody who showed up.
Kyle.
I have an appointment on Thursday, and I'm not sure what time it will be. So if you're looking for my office hours, please send me an email in advance, and we can work something out. Thanks.
And on Wednesday, if you're free, please come for the dust up at 10 a.m., cleaning the pews for the summer season. Today is your last day to vote on the Reconciling in Christ designation that is done in the narthex, and I'm sure you all know more about that than I. And then finally, right after the service today, there will be an important meeting in the conference room led by Bob Turner to determine the plans for adult forum and Bible study. For the coming year. So please join Bob for that. Once again, if you weren't here for the opening announcements, I'm Pastor Paul Hoffman, not Pastor Dan Peterson. I am a member of this congregation, and it's my great privilege to serve you this morning. Those of you who know me know that it is not my style to keep my distance. But I'm going to be doing that this morning. We have house guests, one of whom is significantly immunocompromised. So I'm not going to do a handshake line. I'll stand outside. We can wave to one another. But know that my heart is hugging you as we depart from worship today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. God's blessing, the true faith confessing. Services ended, extended the fruits of this service to all who believe. The seed of God's teaching, receptive hearts reaching. For God and for all. Answer your call with praise and thanksgiving to God ever living.